Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is my best friend, Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Oh my God, we never have any notes, we just talk. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. On Tuesdays, I offer patrons only a show that's called What's Up. It's whatever I feel like talking about, my personal life, kind of like my online diary. I also offer a tier with a much shorter intro and no ads. So go to patreon.com/startmeup. Choose how you'll support me today, and thank you in advance. Now please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
Hi, Kimberly.
Oh my God. It's just, you know, once again, no notes. I don't even know what I want to talk about, but I have a feeling we'll figure it out.
Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something. You know the guy who says, thank you for your attention to this matter.
Yes.
I'm a physical therapist with 14 years. I could do his whole speech. What is it called? Epistemic crisis doctor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I've got all of my friends in the world who were all just as distressed as mm-hmm. you and every person that listens to this podcast. Let me just put it as every decent human being
right.
who wants to see the status quo knocked off its ass so we can see some real motherfucking change up in this fucking colonized country. Okay. Like, let's just get right down to business. I'm now standing with a cup of coffee, my third in my hand. So three of my best friends, and we share stuff all the time back and forth on our thread, and they're exhausted.
Yeah.
They're exhausted. They're not in politics, but they're voters. They're mm-hmm. they're three sisters. They're women of color.
Mm-hmm.
They have seen their share of, you know, struggles, adversity. They've been through it just like all of us have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them she's one of the most active in the chat. She's like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm losing faith, right? And I don't blame her, but like,
yeah.
for me, that's just like giving up, not an option. What can
no,
I do
No, I'm
now?
Not losing faith. In fact, my
and
not, faith
I
is strengthening.
They're not giving up, but they're bummed.
No,
yes, of course.
It's awful.
You know,
everything is awful.
It's horrible. And then Epistemic, I don't know if it was this morning or last night, he was like, let me tell you something. You're tired? Buck the fuck up. And I would never talk to my girlfriends like that. Because I don't meet, you know, they're going to show up, they're going to vote,
right.
they're going to do what they do. But it's what it is, their souls are exhausted, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't mean I'm throwing in the towel. They mean I'm like beat down.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up. And one of them lives in Virginia. So good luck. I hope you can get to the polls,
yeah,
you know, well. Or whatever, you know, whatever. But I was listening to him. Because a lot of people will say, I mean, I know people who've said, I just don't vote. I don't believe in the system. And it's like, oh, okay. Isn't that?
Well, the system believes in you, baby.
Right. The system believes in you. So we are going to show up. There are
yeah,
more
but it's exhausting.
Of us.
It's exhausting.
It's soul crushing, right?
But look at what Hungary did.
That was the example he gave, Kimberly.
There you go.
He goes, 15 years, Viktor uh-huh. Orban ruled that country. And he said, and those Hungarians walked uphill and took him mm-hmm. out. So guess what? We're going to do it too. But I got to tell you, you know, I want to bring this to the fore just because I'm thinking of this, like, I'm 60 years old. I just started my own consulting firm. I want to be able to work with, whether it's in a fundraising capacity or an advocacy capacity or a relationship strategy capacity, with organizations and causes and people who want to see the shift happen in their lifetime. Look, I'm going to be, I always, like, now I'm looking at this, like, I'm in the last third of my life, right? Because I'll peace out at 90 and I'll be fine with that. But like, I've got a couple of decades left in me to get gnarly. I'm like, I was in the gym boxing this morning. I'm like, yeah, come at me, right? Come at me.
Everybody needs seeing, Stephanie's, you need to bottle what you have.
Well, you know, what? Remember the movie 48 Hours?
Yes.
Lack of pussy makes you brave, okay? So I kind of liken, it's that mentality, right?
Yeah.
Go buy yourself something pretty. Lack of pussy makes you brave.
Oh my God, look, that's fucking hilarious.
That's where we are right now, okay?
You're such a crude bitch.
I am. And guess what? I'm tired of lacking decency.
Yeah,
I'm
me too.
Tired of seeing the same, you know, people in our party, people who claim to believe what we believe, you know, get down to the basics. What's wrong with the way things are being done here? The poor are getting poorer, the rich are getting richer. People who claim to be progressive will do anything they can to hang on and to not really look beyond, like, these are my views, I support abortion, yay. But you know what? Do you want to see the poor child of an immigrant living across town from you have the same access to yeah. public education that the kids in the good zip codes have? Do you want to watch people make a living wage job that comes with insurance for their families? That's called labor unions, everybody. Okay. Do you want universal health care? Shouldn't we all be able to go to the doctor?
Yes.
Like they do in fucking France and every yes. other developed country in this world? We are fucked up. Okay.
Yeah,
so if
shit is fucked up,
it really is.
I'm adding so much to this.
No, I'm on a roll. I'm pacing right now. That's why I put my AirPods in. I'm like, I'm home in the house by myself, but I'm putting my AirPods in because I know today is going to be a pacer. Yeah. So what do we need to see? What do we need to see? You know, there are plenty of amazing leaders. And I'm spoiled. Yeah. I got a mayor called Barbara Lee. Okay. I've got a Congress member named Latifah Simon. I got an assembly member named Buffy Wicks who grew up in a fucking trailer. Okay. These are people who are putting their principles before, you know, what does this mean for me? Does this mean a paycheck for me? They're living for the moment to try to make change today, every day. By the way, they're all women. But then I got Senator Jesse Adeguin, who's the child of farm workers. You know, he's a first generation Mexican American who's my senator, my state senator, who's out there every day working towards the right stuff. So these are the people that I want to see. I want yeah. people with lived experience, people who maybe have had a second chance, right? People who have lived
yes.
through, you know, the powdered milk and subsidized right. housing days, okay? People whose parents maybe didn't have legal status in this country, but who work and work and work and helped us build and help those people who have all the money and the power maintain it. So I've got one of my tried and true greatest women in my life. I knew her before I went to work for Planned Parenthood, and then we worked together at Planned Parenthood. She was a union organizer. She was the director of public affairs at Planned Parenthood, playing it, you know, standing up in, you know, in the public forums at, you know, city councils all through the district to fight for, you know, reproductive freedom rights and health care for it. So she's a badass. Well, I've talked about the Voter Protection Project before on this podcast, and I'm the president of that PAC, and we've raised over $20 million since 2019, playing in congressional and senatorial races across the country. So VPP said, Lauren Babb Tomlinson, this is the woman I'm talking about, who I worked with, she should run for Congress. Okay, she is in a newly drawn California, thank you, Prop 50 district. It's called California 6. The region was Kamala plus 8, okay, in the last presidential. So the representative who's running against her, the Republican, is Kevin Kiley. Although, because he's a douche and he's a grifter, he changed his political affiliation to independent because it's a Kamala plus 8 district, right? Well, Babs running for Congress. Okay, there are 435 congressional districts in this country. Guess how many, excuse me, have been an opportunity to go from red to blue with a black woman running. Guess how many of 435?
Zero.
One.
One. Well, one.
And guess who my candidate is? Lauren Babb Tomlinson, the only black woman, a young mother, someone who has given her life to public service and human rights, is running. She is the candidate. She is the person who I'm going to put my money on, who I'm going to knock doors for, who I have been, helping to raise money for her campaign, because that's the change that we need to see. And if we keep electing these recycled, oh, I ran for mayor and lost. Oh, I termed out of the assembly, but I need to remain, in the public eye. But what are you doing? What are you doing to change? Nothing. I'm done. I'm done with those kind of candidates. And so that's part of the buck the fuck up strategy that we all need to pay attention to as well. And so I'm optimistic it's gonna be a battle because of course there's an old, Democrat who, like I said, been in the public eye, got a bunch of dirty corporate money coming in at the 11th hour because Lauren's got over $1 million in the bank. I mean, this woman is kicking ass. She's in the streets. She's telling her story, and it's resonating with people. And the status quo is scared. And that's where we need them to be.
Yes,
Okay.
100%. And I
Anyway.
kind of want to remind people that Stephanie really needs more passion, right? I just, the thing is people have a tendency to vote, once every 4 or 2 years or whatever in the midterms and then the general. It's not enough. These days, it's not enough. You look at someone like Fetterman, and I'm not saying phone calls to Fetterman would have made all the difference. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with that guy because I didn't know like a stroke could make you into a fascist, but whatever. Still, we have to keep on them because too many of our representatives, whether they're senators or whatever, they are not always doing what we want them to do. So we need to tell them instead of screaming at each other and getting, I mean, sure, get angry at oligarch media, but these people work for us. So we need to take the responsibility of being their employers. And that means showing up more than 2 times a year. I want to say one thing. Now I'm going to be really brief on this, but it's very important to me, and I spoke about it in my patrons only, but I'm gonna talk about it here. Like I said, I'll be brief, but my friend Darius is being kicked out. He lives with his mom. He's autistic. They don't have a lot of money. His mother has been through tons of trauma in her life, and they're being kicked out of their home, and they need help. And I'm doing everything I can, but people don't want to share GoFundMes because they don't know him. And I've got it up to about 3,300. He needs about 10 grand. I would be happy with about 8 grand. I think he could do it, but he needs it. And everybody's just, I've tapped out pretty much what I can do. And I need you guys to step up. I did write a favor on my Patreon. It's called A Favor. It's on Patreon. It's got his GoFundMe in it. It's all over my social medias. I'm going to keep doing it. And I hate bugging people. But really,
But
what I hate,
you gotta
but
do it, babe.
I don't care like for myself. I care for him because I know he's checking this GoFundMe and he's seeing it stalling. And, I mean, we just put it out, I think, on Sunday. And, we got a really good amount. I think on Monday I woke up and it was like over 2,000. Somebody had
That's
donated
great.
1,500.
That's great.
But it's stressful to me because I know he's very upset. And I mean, I know he's doing everything he can. He's talking to the mayor. He's talking to city council. I gave him numbers, what to do for people who have, you know, issues with homelessness. So he's doing everything he can do, but he just needs our help. And I'm going to keep asking for it. And I don't give a shit if I'm annoying. It's just for him. So anyway, I'm going to let it go, but please help if you can. And the other thing I'm going to say is, if you have friends who have money, you know, I vouch for this guy. You could just say, look, could you give whatever you can? I know there are people out there who can't afford it. Don't worry about it. But I know there are people who can give bigger chunks of money. And that's what we need right now. We need a few big chunks. So anyway, okay, yeah. I'm going to shut up now.
No. I love it. And I love you for caring. Darius is great. And people need help. And people are afraid to ask for it. So it is.
The thought of him homeless with his mother is too much.
No. No. Yeah.
So
absolutely. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on again. Yeah. Why aren't you more passionate, Stephanie? Jesus Christ. Wake up a little.
Hey, I've been up since 5:30 my time. But listen, it's because this is the moment.
I know. Now. I'm just teasing you. But yes, of course it is. And now I'm going to go back to Hungary because I just want to point out, I want to make two points here. And I've made them before, but I'm going to make them again. Number one, Nazi Germany did not have a resistance. They didn't have a resistance in the media. They didn't have a resistance with the, you know, general population. They didn't have it in the governments or the court or any of it. They had no resistance. We do. We mm-hmm. have big, huge, fat resistance. Also, with Hungary, Orban absolutely controlled, like, I don't know, 80% of the media, but there was still a small independent media, which is what we also have. And yeah. So, you know, and what happened was everybody in fucking Hungary showed up to vote. It was like,
yes,
I don't know, I can't remember, like 80% or something like that. So even though.
And he rigged the election.
Yes.
And
so I was just going to say, even though the elections were rigged, it was too big to rig. So yes. That's what we need here. And people say, oh, you know, I know nobody who's listening to this show is saying this, but. You know, that politics, I don't pay attention to politics. And it's like, but politics pays attention to you and it's going to fucking rule your life. So you can sit there and have this blasé bullshit attitude like, oh, I'm too good for politics. But then when you can't get an abortion, when you can't pay your rent, when you can't afford groceries, well, then what? It power is within the people. Look at fucking Hungary. Look at Hungary. I am so,
right.
I'm so fucking pumped. When I saw Hungary, it was like, oh my God, I know we're going to do this. I know, though, I am going to be shitting bricks on voting day in November because we've had so many. Now voting day used to be fun. Even if you lost, I mean, you got disappointed, but you weren't terrified. You were just like, oh, right. Fuck. But now it's like terrifying. So
well,
it's
we've
like,
been talk about trauma. I mean,
PTSD, full blown. Yeah.
Since 2015, we've been in pure hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
pure
I saw some
hell.
Woman. I saw some woman today on social media. She's like, you know, I never hear anybody on the mainstream media say Biden. They just say the former administration. And I don't listen to legacy media, so I can't validate that. But I would not be surprised because. It's pissing me off so much, but I'm really glad to see because I'm seeing like Midas Touch, of course, Allison Gill, a number of independent media is stepping up. And I don't know where we're going to land. I don't know how this all, you know, I mean, everything's being gutted. Susan Sarandon fucking bitch got her way. So everything's being gutted. Everything's falling apart, which means it's an opportunity for us to rebuild and build like. Biden said, build back better. But when we build back better, we have to be smarter because what Biden did, even though it was wonderful, it was for the people. I think the emphasis should have been more because it's all been reversed now. It should have been on, you know, and I know he had a limited amount of power to do stuff like this, but to start strengthening, you know, what was weak and what gives Donald Trump power. That he shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. I know Biden couldn't have in those 4 years. I know he couldn't have done it all. I don't know that he could have prevented, you know, this Donald Trump situation. But what we need from Democrats moving forward is, yeah, do good for the people. We need all the stuff for the people, but we need to change the way our government works because there are too many you know, traditional norms that were just all about the word and trust. And you can't trust fucking, we have pedophiles running this country.
And oh yeah.
It's like pedophiles, and pedophile drug
apologists.
Addicts. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It's
absolutely, it's a nightmare that I don't think we could have even made up.
No. No, I mean, there's no, I mean, I couldn't have imagined anything like this, but I think, okay, we're in it. And there is a reason. And the reason is not some grand divine reason. It's us. We're the reason. It's the choices that we have made. But there is a reason that this is happening. And the reason is we haven't really done what we need to do as citizens to pay attention. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the disinformation of the right wing disinformation fucking, I mean, it's like machine, you know, it's, yeah. We haven't done enough though, whether it's us, the people, or our people in our government, we should be regulating the internet. We need to regulate AI, you know, because everybody, what's happening with AI, and I'm totally veering off, but it's like, I don't think AI has to be our enemy. We have to regulate it. So just like mm-hmm. we did with television, because there's a lot of benefits from AI. There's a lot of really great things that can come from it. Just like with the internet. You know, the internet is fucking horrible. It's horrible in some places. And then it's great in other places. You and I met because of the internet. You know, Bob and I met because of the internet. There are all kinds of really positive things that have happened because of the internet. And there's all kinds of really negative things. So AI, you know, people demonize AI. But who's running AI? People. People mm-hmm, are. Mm-hmm. So AI in and of itself is not a danger. It's the people behind it. And so therefore that needs to be regulated. And
right.
you know, it's never going to go away. We're never going to get rid of it. And it does pose a threat. So we need to fit, you know, I mean, I know that places like Norway, they're teaching their kids in school about disinformation and how to spot it. And I don't know that they've done anything really with AI, but I guarantee you they will. Because these countries that are a little more advanced than we are, a little more progressive than we are in a lot of areas, you know, they're looking at it and saying, all right, well, we can make this work, but we have to have it. So there's some rules. And, uh-huh. you know, it's like, I don't think we should always demonize AI. I really just don't. And I don't hate it. I hate when people abuse it, because that's the real
yes.
problem. It's like they say the love of money is the root to all evil. Not necessarily, because you could be somebody who really loves having money and be incredibly generous. It's money is a fucking concept. It's all people. It's people.
Yeah.
And every, you know, it's people are behind all the things that we love to demonize or blame. But it's us. It's just us.
Yes.
It all starts in our fucking minds. That's where everything fucking begins. We get ideas and then we act on these ideas. Sometimes our ideas are selfish and cruel and horrible. And so, you know, we need to regulate that shit. So, yeah, I just went off my little AI tangent, which I wasn't expecting to do.
No. I love it.
Although, you know, and I will say I use AI because I'm losing weight, and all I really do is like I entered my body information, you know, my height, my weight, my age, and the fact that I've got that thing called olfactory, I can't remember, hallucinations. So the long and short of it is if I lose weight too fast, I know that there's estrogen is stored in fat. So if I lose the fat too fast, I lose too much estrogen. And then that's when I get that smell. And so I was like asking AI, how much can I eat and still lose weight? And so it's funny though, because I entered something into it it was like a nutrition label. And it gave me the wrong information like three times. And it had all the math right there. And I was like, you're AI. You should know this. And I got yeah. really mad at it. And I said, fuck you. And then it just, I told AI.
Did you write that? Did you say,
I absolutely told fucking nothing. Fuck you. And then it was so funny because it came back with, it just repeated what it had just said. And I said, have you been programmed to ignore me when I tell you to fuck off? And it says, no, I just will not escalate. I was like fighting with that. I'm saying, fuck you, AI.
Oh my God.
But you know what? The thing about AI is I mean, definitely you cannot rely on it. Like, I know there's some story about a woman who took a picture of some kind of vegetation and it was poison. And she asked AI what it was, and it told her, it like reiterated that it was, I think, carrots or something. And it turned out to be poison. So, you know, but don't ever fucking rely on AI for things like that. You know, it's like,
right,
AI can make mistakes. You know, you have to go into it knowing that it is imperfect and there is no soul there. Oh, the other funny thing is, I wrote something that, and it wasn't that funny, right? It was just some dumb thing that I thought. And it was funny enough. So I go over to AI and I go, is this funny? And then it tells me why it's not funny. And then it gives me examples of what's funny. And oh my God, it was so not funny. It was like so
hilarious.
It was
that's
so
funny.
Like not human. Yeah, it was like a not human thing. Because like mine was more, I can't remember what I said, but it was something, it was like one of my stupid existential quotes or posts, something like, if you're wind, you can't feel yourself, or something stupid like that. I don't know what I said, but I was just like, it was really windy outside. And I just thought, huh, wind can't feel itself. And so I wanted to make some stupid joke. And it was like, it finally said, well, it's rye, if that's what you're going for.
Oh my God. Yes, I want to be rye.
It was just so funny that AI was like giving me really lame things to post instead. And I was like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. But just FYI, I would never use AI to write. The only thing that I would ever use it for is to clean up my grammar, but never to write anything for me, because I don't believe in that. And I don't believe in using AI, obviously, for the, you know, using it to fool people. So
both of my kids are filmmakers. They're artists, and they won't. And they're students. My son's actually graduating from college next Thursday. Oh my God. And my daughter's graduating from high school on the 31st, but they won't, just on principle.
Right.
Because they're so true to their art.
Yeah.
Forms.
I wouldn't want to use it for art.
Right.
I guess there's one
they
way.
Won't use it. They won't even use it to like research shit for school. And I'm like, okay.
No, that's better, because I I'm glad that they have now like AI detecting material, because kids, that would scare the shit out of me. If I have a kid right now, oh my God, the AI could just make it so they don't have to work at all. So no, I would hate that. I mean, I can only imagine when I was a kid, if we had AI, I would have totally used it.
Yeah, of course.
I was not scholastic. I mean, I was smart, and when I applied myself, I got good grades, but I just didn't want to apply myself.
Because you wanted to smoke a joint and go to a football game. I mean, please.
I wanted to go to the beach, because I lived by the beach.
Yeah, baby.
So I was like, yeah, I want to go to the beach. But Bob is always so jealous of that, because I grew up, unfortunately, in Torrance. But I didn't grow up in Torrance. That was one of the places that I grew up. But Torrance is very fucking Trumpian and white. But at the time, yes. But at the time, I didn't pay any attention to that, because I was a teenager. I mean, it's funny, because I had come from, where was I? I was going to school in Hollywood. In fact, I was going to school in Silver Lake. And Silver Lake, I was one of the only white people in my school. There was like majority, I would say it was majority Asian and Mexican. Some blacks, very few blacks and whites, mostly Asian and Mexican. And so then I had gone from that. And there was the Stoners and the Cholos gangs. And like, they were for real. And they went to, and like, there was this, we, our school was the Stoners. And I mean, I hung out with a bunch of the Stoners, and had a crush on Alberto Escobar, who was like the cutest one. Oh my God. Even my mom saw him. She's like, oh my God, he's so cute. He was like totally
hell
a hot
babe.
But anyway, so then we go to Torrance, and the reason she moved to Torrance was because I was going to have to go to Hollywood High. And at the time, there were prostitutes and you know, they're whatever they're called, gigolos or whatever. Not gigolos. What are they called? The bosses of the prostitutes? What are they called?
Pimps.
Thank you. There were pimps and prostitutes all over the school, like right outside the school. And I told my mom, I'm like, I'm not fucking going there. So, and she was never going to let me go there. So we moved to Torrance, which, you know, was like by the ocean and all that stuff. But yeah, holy crap. I don't even know why I started talking about that. But it was...
Because we were talking about how we weren't scholastic and all we wanted to do was...
And then like the fucking ocean is right there. So like on my break at school, my girlfriend had a 57 silver Chevy and we would all get into that and go to the beach and have lunch. And I tell these things to Bob and he gets so fucking jealous. It's like, he's like, I would have failed out of high school if I had lived where you lived. And actually I did. 1 year I got 3 fails. But that wasn't the time I was going to the beach. That was because the school I had gone to before was really the weirdest school ever. And it was like, all schools are about popularity, but this school was so heavy in popularity. I'd never seen anything like it. And so I wasn't like obsessed with being popular. I was obsessed with hanging out with the popular crowd, which I did. And then I failed 3 classes.
Oopsie.
Anyway, but okay, let's get back to more important things going on. I was looking today for any kind of results of that May date last Friday. And I couldn't find anything, but I did see that, I think there were 5,000 May Day strong actions across the country. So mm-hmm. It says, you know, it was organized reported. So organizers reported, and this was put out by, what do you call it? Indivisible. So we've had other days where people have, you know, not gone shopping. We've had these days of boycotts or, you know, I don't know what, I can't, like a blackout day. But this was the first time I believe Indivisible put one on. And, you know, we got 8 million people showing up in the last March. So a lot of people found out about this. It would be interesting to see what the numbers were because I participated. Usually I go grocery shopping on Friday and I did not. I waited until Saturday, which I fucking hate. But I did it.
You gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, do things that we don't like to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, every single time we've had one of these things, I don't buy a goddamn thing. So, you know, and it's like, it's easier for me just to go on Friday. I hate going on Saturday. I hate it. Cause I have 2 days off and I like to enjoy them without having to fucking go grocery shopping. I hate grocery shopping
right.
so much. I hate it so much.
Are you like, okay, it's so funny because my thing now is when I'm done working, I want like on the weeknights and you know, weekends, I like to get shit done around my house that yeah. I have like fever for that in the morning, like Saturday mm-hmm. morning, I'm like, you know, cleaning it all up. But then I want to sit the hell down.
Yes.
And do what I want. Right.
That's what I want to do. Yeah.
And during the week though, I have a chair now. Like I have a chair that I sit in. Last night I finished work. I got out of my work clothes. I was out doing appointments and stuff. I started my own consultancy. Anyway, I took off my little kitten heels and my suit and blah, blah, blah. I washed my face at 5:45, put on my nightgown and went to my chair, put a blankie in my lap, tied up a couple of loose ends on the computer.
I totally have a blankie.
Yeah, to put a blankie on my lap. And it was a little chilly, like the weather's been sort of weird mm-hmm. here. And then my husband cooks. Anybody that's listened to this, they know that Zach Walton is a cook. And he came and presented me. He puts a napkin on his arm, like on his forearm, like a waiter, and then presents me with the plate. And so we used to call it couch dinner. Now it's chair dinner during the week. And I sat down and I ate pork tenderloin and a bunch of sides. And I'm like, this is exactly what I want to be doing at 60 years old.
Yeah.
Happy
yeah.
as a clam. And then my adorable teeny daughter comes sometimes and she'll sit and she'll have her phone in her hand and she wants to show me hilarious videos on Instagram and TikTok. And so she'll sit mm-hmm. on the arm of the chair and just completely encroach on my physical being. and I love it, right? These are the things I like.
Yeah.
Then I put on a documentary and I moved over to the couch. And then I doubled the blankets, went upstairs and got a pillow from my bed because I knew I was going to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Fell asleep in the dark. It was a 3-part documentary series. The thing was over. But it was just like that to me. That's what I want to do at night.
Oh, okay. You know, wait, that's what I want to do. And that's kind of what I do, except you need to watch the Bon Jovi documentary.
What?
It's good. It's four parts, man. Four.
Oh, heaven. What? Where is it?
I can't remember. Just look it up. But it's, I think it's HBO, but it might be Netflix. I don't remember. But it's really good. And you know, it's fascinating. I mean, I'm all into, you know, how we manifest, like how to get there. And I was listening to the first episode and boy, I mean, he tells you how everything manifested. It was like, for instance, he had two vocal coaches that basically said, don't quit your day job. He's just like, yeah, whatever. And then
to JBJ.
Yeah. And he just, you know, in the beginning he didn't know what he was doing. He was just new. He had the voice. He just hadn't found it yet. And so, but he fucking stuck to it. He made a decision. This is what I want. And he had people telling him, no, it's not going to happen for you. And he's just like, whatever, get out of my way. And that's how we manifest. And people, you know, it's like, there is definitely the more to life than meets the eye thing, because you got to trust sometimes what you can't see. But that's what he did. He just put his trust in himself. And whatever he was met with, if it didn't fit what he wanted, he just discarded it and found something else until he got to where he wanted to be. And so it's like there's, you know, people talk about manifesting as if it's the spell that you cast. It is not. It is a series of decisions. And it all stems from our, like how we feel, our emotional states and our belief system. If we don't believe we can do something, then we're not going to do it. He just ignored whatever fear, whatever doubt, whatever limitation was whether it was from his own mind or from other people, he ignored it. Most of the time, we listen to the limitation and we go, well, I can't. I used to constantly. I always had reasons why I was not going to succeed. Well, I can't because of this. And because I'm an independent author and people don't buy books when you're independent, and I can't do this and I don't have this. And here's the reasons why I'm going to fail. And this, and that's what I would go on. I would constantly go on why these stupid limiting beliefs. And so what I did was I acted from those beliefs. And he acted from the belief that I'm going to figure this out and I don't fucking care what it takes. And he's amazing because he's so fucking famous and he's so talented. And what I really appreciate about him is that he recognizes his value, but he has no airs. You know, he knows he's the shit, but he also doesn't take it for granted and he's not a dick about it. He's just very serious about being good at what he does. But I think you would really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, Richie Sambora needs a fucking haircut. They all do. I don't understand this idea. Okay, I get it when you were young, and oh my God, Jon Bon Jovi was so pretty. I never realized how pretty he was.
Oh, stop.
Oh my God, he was like masculine and pretty. How is that? He was like, oh my God, he was so pretty. But you know, you look at
so
their hair.
So pretty.
You look at their hair back in the day, fine. But like, what the fuck are you doing, Richie? The stupid haircut that he has is like
stop, dude, dying it.
Just stop. It's like so dumb. And Jon Bon Jovi needs a fucking haircut. I love him to pieces. But look at what Bruce Springsteen does. That works. He looks good.
Bruce looks fantastic.
I love Bruce Springsteen. I love him. Oh my God. I got his Essential Bruce Springsteen in somewhere in the 2000s. And that had all of the lyrics to all of his songs. So, you know, I'm like obsessed with knowing every word to every song.
And don't you miss liner notes in the freak out the album and in the, yes. Anyway.
Yes. And so I was like, oh my God, this man is a poet. I mean, I always liked Bruce Springsteen, but I never like super duper loved him until I got the Essential Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, oh my God, he blew me away. I didn't realize he was such a fucking, I mean, everyone else knew, but I figured it out finally. It's like, dude, this man, he's a poet.
But yeah, he's insane. He's just beyond.
Oh, and did you hear, we're not even talking about politics right now, but did you hear about August? Did you hear about August? What's coming out in August?
Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I cannot fucking wait.
And you know what? They're going to have Rebecca with her boyfriend. I can't wait to see
them
together.
I saw them kissing in the trailer. Yes. And yes. Tracy Ullman.
Yes, yes, yes. Tracy
Ullman. No Jamie Tart. No, Nate.
I know.
Who else is no? Well,
Nate
Dr.
winked
Fieldstone.
At us, though, in that last episode as if, like, hey, more's coming. Remember?
Well, maybe he'll cameo.
Yeah, maybe he'll cameo.
Nay. Yeah,
but he's teaching a girls team, and I've heard that people are upset about that. It's like, oh my God, seriously?
Who's upset about, go to hell.
Assholes on the internet who have to be assholes about everything.
Okay, well, okay, check this out. I was in London last week.
Yes.
For the, it was a Port of Oakland trip.
Did you go to the phone booth? Did you go to his old home or to where he lived?
Well, so I stupidly made the mistake of saying to, we had a driver that was taking us, and he goes, I'm going to take you girls on a scenic tour from Heathrow to London. And we were staying right at Trafalgar Square. And so he was amazing. And we got him on the way back too. It was incredible. And he showed us everything and it was wonderful. And I said to him, and I'm embarrassed a tiny bit, but not really. I said, can you tell me the neighborhood where Ted Lasso and Coach Beard live? Fictional AFC Richmond play. He goes, honey, that is it. He didn't say honey, but he's like, that's all made up. And I'm like, God damn it.
Oh.
But the phone booths still exist, but they're filled with shit.
Yeah.
But London's great. And so we were at this aviation conference and it was at United Arab Emirates Stadium where Arsenal plays. And it's not just Arsenal, the football club, the men's, it's the women's. And the women were the 2025 champions of Europe last year.
Wow.
So they take it real seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, who's mad about women playing professional sports? Like,
just
please,
a bunch
I'm not
of
even,
fucking dickheads who can't.
I don't even care. I don't even care to know.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's so ridiculous how people get, I don't know, like they want to shit on everything, you know, whether, you know, pop culture, obviously it happens with politics, but you get into pop culture. And I mean, I think people are even more vicious to each other about things like that. You know, Bob's in that whole Marvel world. Well, maybe not the whole Marvel world, but whether it's Star Trek or whatever, or Star Wars, and there's some big fucking fight on the internet. It's like, he's like, I can't even deal with these people. It's like, it's a fictional show. How can you be so angry over things? You know, it's like, what? I will never understand. You know, and it's funny because Bob is the kind of person, like, we'll be watching a series, whether it's Succession or whatever. Some series will like really get us and we love it so much. And then he'll start telling me later on, like, you could tell he's gone and he's looked up the actors. He's looked up. I never have done that in my whole life.
Oh my God.
Bob is always
If I'm watching
way.
It at home, I have to pause to get with it before I watch the rest of the damn show.
You know what we're watching? We started watching last night is Widow's Bay.
I started that too.
Yeah. It's fun. I kind of like it. So yeah, because we've been having a thing where we don't know what to watch. We've been rewatching a show called Life and Beth with Amy Schumer, and I do enjoy that. In fact, I would love to see a show with Amy Schumer and Lena Dunham. I think they would be fantastic, and it's like it's so interesting because so many people hate both of them, and I will say
I'm living for Lena Dunham right now.
Me
real
too.
Hard.
You know, Bob was the one who got me to watch Girls, and I will admit that I at the time got sucked into that pendulum of let's all hate on Lena Dunham. And I didn't have a reason. I just didn't like her and I didn't want to watch Girls. So I had no reason. I just allowed the collective to decide for me, which I wouldn't have admitted then because I didn't think of it that way. But now I can look back and go, yeah, I allowed the collective to just make me have an opinion about her. Anyway, so then he's like, I really think you will like Girls. So I started watching Girls and now I think it's like one of the fucking best shows I've ever seen. And, you know, I look at Amy Schumer and they've all come down on Amy Schumer and I don't even fucking know why. I always liked her. I know she's recently lost a lot of weight. I think she did Ozempic or something like that. But she's so fucking funny. They're both so funny. They're both so smart. I think they would really be great as sisters or something like, or roommates or like business partners or something. I think I would fucking love that. I would love to see. But Life and Beth is fun. And so like we've been watching that and we're like, we don't, you know, there's all these shows that we're waiting for. Like we're waiting for Ted Lasso and we're waiting for The Pitt, of course. Like I can't believe how much I love The Pitt.
The Pitt.
Oh my God, I love what is her name? Lanessa. What's her name?
Catherine Lanessa. She's my, yeah. She's my idol.
I cannot get enough of her.
Same.
Just like she is fucking, I don't like to call people queen. I will call her queen.
Oh, I say queen all the damn time.
Bow ass to her. And I love that she is aging naturally. And I think she's absolutely beautiful. I mean, the first thing that when I first saw her, I was like, I want to look like her. I mean, that was like,
yeah,
that's what I was like. I want to be her. She just had the coolest look. And it's like, she is so fucking great. I just love her so much with Baby Jane Doe.
But Baby Jane Doe, take a formula. Well, I mean, I can't even do it, but that she nailed that Pittsburgh license.
So awesome.
What
she's
the hell
so
did
awesome.
I just say? License? Accent. Help me.
Okay. So wait, let me think. We've actually had some, I want to report on this. Let me go to my Facebook page because I posted it. We had two good things happen yesterday. Okay, so we have, I hope I'm saying his name right. Chedrick Green wins the Michigan State Senate race. Woohoo! So he won, but he's the Democrat. He won by, he had 22,000 votes. The Republican had 14,000 votes. So yay, and the independent only got 610. So the Democrat got the most votes. So we keep seeing this. Like, we keep seeing much higher numbers of Democrats voting than Republicans. So, and then I don't know if you heard that Sherrod Brown, he got the nomination and he got it with 149,000. So unfortunately, though, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ramalama Ding Dong, that's what I used to call him. I guess he got the nomination for governor. So that's not good. So hopefully he won't win because he's a fucking lunatic. But we've been
beyond.
Beyond. And it's like, I think we're seeing continually like Democrats outperforming, always winning. So I'm just, I don't know, man. I feel really good about where we're going, but then I feel like, okay, what's the demented man going to do? Because I know I every time I go to Epistemic Crisis Doctor, I see you've already liked it. So I know you're watching him because I pretty much go to him every day just to listen to what I haven't gone today. But I mean, I'm buying into everything. Like, I know he's right. I know that everything he's saying is right on about Trump's health. And I'm going to be quick because I talked about this last week, so I don't want to bore everybody, but really, really, really quick. There's this other woman who I listened to on TikTok, and she was going over the time that he did the corner store. It was like, first he said corner, then he said quarter, then he said quarter. So corner, quarter, corner. And so she talked about that, and she talked about the fact that his involuntary salivary glands are not working, or swallowing. That's what it was. Involuntary swallow reflex, not working. So, you know, for the longest time, we've heard the saliva pooling in his mouth. That's why he keeps just going all the time. So in this particular video, when he was talking about the corner store, he really was pulling his saliva, so much saliva. And she was noting it. And she was talking about this thing. There's a word, there's a medical term for not being able to say certain kinds of, like, because I guess there's a test where you go ta 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 pa 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 ka ka ka, and then you have to say certain words. She's like, he could never do that. He could never do that. So there's a name for it. So what I did was I took all this information over to Google, and I said, okay, a man, what is the how long does someone have if they're 80 years old? They have congestive heart failure, because we know he has it. Poor diet. You know, frontotemporal dementia. And then I listed, you know, I listed that thing and the swallowing shit. And basically it said 6 months. That's what they, you know, they're giving about 6 months. So, and you know what, as far as the episode, like, I've said this too, that I don't think the doctor should have put a date on anything, because nobody can tell. Nobody can tell. You know, you can look at the most sick. Look, fucking Jimmy Carter lasted a year in hospice. You know, he was like, he was on death's door every fucking day for a year. So we can't put, no one can put a date on it. But I do think this year, is going to be the year. I think he's going to go away. I don't know if he's going to go away because he's, you know, dead or his mind just fucking ends. But every single day he's getting worse. And then did you see in that 60 Minutes video when he was sitting down? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. Like, they took a picture from the side, and I don't know, there's something in his pants, and it's not just diapers, because it's like a whole shelf back there. It's like, if you Google Trump sitting down for 60 Minutes interview, you look at the pictures, go to images, and you'll see it. His ass is fucking ginormous, and there's something there. I don't really know what
and
it is.
And it's not just poo-poo in his pants?
It looks different than a diaper, but I don't, something is, he's got something going on down there in his pants. Because his butt does not look normal. There's a shelf, like there's a whole fucking shelf back. You could put knickknacks on it. It's like, it's like this whole ledge.
It's where he keeps his Hummels.
But it's like and I know I've been saying this forever. I know I have, because every morning I wake up, I was like, is he dead yet? Is he dead yet? Is he dead? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, is he dead yet? I'm just like, every time I turn around, is he dead yet? So that's where my mind is. And that's why I keep talking about it. But it's
you and half of the country and all of the world.
Yeah, but then I see people.
Oh, saying, people hate him. In London, people hate his guts.
I bet.
When they saw that we were American, it was like, we're with you. I'm like, we can't stand him. They're like, oh my God. I mean, the things people say, like, they don't hold back over there.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single person I saw who even had a hint of MAGA in them. Yeah. It was like, they despise, because, and they say things like, he's ruining the world.
Yes. Cause he is. He is, and he's going to fucking die. And, you know, I mean, he's going to die soon. He's going to die sooner than later. It's just like I always say, if he were your relative that you loved, you know, because whenever you say he's going to die, people act
prepare the deathbed.
Right. And people act like from your mouth to God's ears. It's like, it's not about that. He's old and he's dying, you know, but does he have a year? I don't know. I don't know how long he has. You know, Google's giving him about 6 months. Without ever seeing him.
Google.
But you know what I mean? Obviously, that's
when we love the internet. I know. Right?
Make it tomorrow. But
ask Claude. Ask Claude or chat.
Exactly. That's it. We should ask him. We should go to Claude and say, give him all, because I just went to Google. But if you know, look it up. But it's obvious it's happening. And people talk about him making it to, they're like, he's not building the ballroom because he plans to go anywhere. I don't give a shit what he's planning. He's got dementia. I don't care what he's got legacy on his mind. He's not going to be around for 2028, even if he's alive. Imagine what that would look like. There's no way. Look at how far, you know, this woman that I was just talking about, she's like a speech therapist and she's on YouTube and she just went over his signature and he was, you know, he's doing one of those things that he signs in front of the camera at his desk. And like now he's holding a big giant marker. And if you watch him,
like one of those crayons we had,
yes,
in kindergarten,
they're really thick because he can't use his hand to use a regular pen. So, I mean, he always used a Sharpie, but this is a much bigger one. And then, so you could see
what
that he was
wiener.
Struggling. Yeah, he was struggling. You could see it. Like he was kind of struggling. And then she took the two, I guess, from 2020, what his signature looked like, and then what it looked like the other day. It's different. It's not incredibly different, but it has changed. It's just, it's more wobbly. It's doesn't look the same. So, you know, whoever I was listening to talking about this, I think it was a PhD talking about the kind of dementia that he has. And they were saying that your brain starts to atrophy. That it's like the front part of your brain. It starts to atrophy. And what happens is it's kind of like the whole idea of an earthquake. So like with each number, it's like 10 times worse, right? So like a 5 is 10 times worse than a 4 or whatever the number is. So like every day, the damage keeps getting worse in his brain. So yeah, for like,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
I don't know how many times worse, but like, let's just go with the 10 times. So it's like his brain is 10 times worse today than it was yesterday. And it will be 10 times worse tomorrow than today. So he's rapidly declining. And did you see in that, that he fell in it, when they were trying to save him from that fucking shooter? And, you know, they all got, did you see when he fell?
No.
Yeah. Cause if you just go at that White House Correspondents' Dinner, you know, they go to get him.
Oh, that part. Yes, of course.
So yes.
Yeah, and he couldn't get up.
Right.
He should have been on the Clapper commercial. Oh no, not the Clapper.
What was that? All right.
I can't get up. The Clapper. He could be on the Clapper commercial too. Remember the Clapper?
Yes.
And the lady was in the bed like,
yes.
Oh my God. I need a Clapper. Shut up. Give me a fucking Clapper from the couch.
Do they even make those anymore? I wonder.
Who knows, clap man?
On.
But it was that.
Clap off.
Clap off.
Clap
the Clapper.
On, clap off the Clapper. Oh, the
Lord.
Stupid things our minds remember.
Right, like every childhood toy commercial from the 1970s. My brother said Ice Bird to me, and I was like immediately, Ice Bird, you're such a nice bird. I mean, I know the whole damn thing. I'll spare the audience. But, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Dusty, riding nugget. I mean, come on, let's go.
I'm telling you. Oh my God. So, okay. What do you have on, what are you planning for this weekend? Anything fun?
Yes, actually I am going to LA, for work on Friday to spend time with my amazing client, the Young Women's Freedom Center, which is this organization that's been in existence for 30 years. And their whole goal is to inspire young women, trans and gender expansive youth who have experienced foster care, life on the streets, and the juvenile justice system to transform their lives and their communities. Okay? Okay?
That's
They're
pretty cool.
Incredible. And so I'll be working with their team. And then there's an event that night. So I get to really get the feel, like I'm just so freaking excited. And then I'm gonna stay and spend time with one of my besties who lives in LA with her family, and she's an empty nester, so we're gonna do like lady stuff together. That's my, and then I'll come home on, you know, midday Sunday and make sure my precious 18-year-old daughter, who's about to be a high school graduate, is all set for the week. And then we're going to New York next week to watch my son graduate from college.
Wow.
I know.
That's so amazing. That's so amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so proud of him. He is a filmmaker. He is a writer and a director. And the kid is, you just want your kids to be decent people who can like stand up and take care of themselves and be, you know, fabulous human beings and treat folks with respect. And I gotta tell you, I got two of them. And so I feel like whatever happens moving forward, they're good people. And it's amazing. My son works. He's a kid still under our care. And we paid for his schooling and his, you know, we helped him through that, but he's like becoming an adult, and he's going to be an adult living on his own starting July 1.
Is he staying in New York?
He's staying in New York. He's got three roommates. They're looking for a place to live in Brooklyn, and they're all in the industry, and some of them have already have jobs like doing their craft. But my son wants to continue to write and direct and make films on his own. And so he's working in the restaurant and he's picking up extra shifts and he's doing his thing. So, and then my daughter is graduating on from high school on May 31st and going to Sarah Lawrence College in the fall.
Yay! That's so awesome.
To study film. Yes,
Good.
shit.
We're gonna need filmmakers with progressive filmmakers because the oligarchs
Oh.
are fucking everything up.
These two, they got it. And
Oh yeah,
then
I have no doubt.
when Penelope, my daughter, when Penny graduates, she and her brother, they've already got the name of their production company. Like, they're ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But we took Penny to see Sarah Lawrence in person and to go on like a legit tour. And then we know somebody who's a junior there now who has the same major as my daughter, and she took us on a like her private tour. And this place is just teeming with creative, unbelievable young people, and it's exciting. It's the absolute right place for her. My son wanted a huge, he's got that NYU experience. He wanted to be in the city, and Penny wants, she doesn't want to be in the city. She wants to be close enough to the city, but she doesn't want to be in the city. And she's surrounded. It's a small campus. It's a small student body, and they're all just incredible. It's the perfect place for her. And her brother's like, if she needs me, I could be there in an hour. I'll jump on the train and I'll be there in an hour. I got her back. And I'm like,
Oh,
hell
that's so cool. That's
yeah. So
wonderful.
it's gonna be great. Yeah, we're doing great. Zach and I are freaking out a little bit about being empty nesters, but
But you'll get used to
we're gonna be fine. I'm gonna have a clean house. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be doing only 6 loads of laundry a week versus 12. I'm not going to be picking towels up off the floor. I talk to him about it, but
I know how it goes. I don't know. I have no idea. I think I need to get my hair cut this weekend.
nice.
But I've been really like I've been lax on that. I was supposed to get it cut weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but I got like that little touch of RSV. It was like a touch. And so I canceled. And then I just cut it myself because I was like, I can't fucking stand. I can't. It was so scraggly. And so I just, cut a bunch of it off myself. Now I gotta go because it's like I and it's not, it's I'm just lazy, I'm just or I'm busy. I mean,
You're
Bob's,
busy and you need
yeah,
to
I mean, I
relax
have
on your
parents, and then like
weekends.
my Bob's stepfather passed away a couple of weeks ago, and so we had to go, we went to see his
Oh.
mom and everything. So there's just been stuff going on, and so now I got to do it. Now I got to go get my hair cut. And Bob got me a massage for Christmas, and I still haven't used it. So I should just like book an appointment and go get a massage, especially now because my
Yes.
shoulders are killing me. But I'm just trying to think, is there anything else? Is there anything kind of fun? I can't think of anything else other than please help Darius.
Yeah,
I'm never
I'm gonna
letting
help
that go.
Darius. I'm gonna do that right away.
You're very sweet. Thank you. And I'm talking to my listeners, and I want to thank all my listeners who already did help. I'm not asking you for a second time, but maybe some of those people who did help, some friends. If you have friends that are generous, hey, hit them up. I think that, yeah, I think that's going to be it. There's nothing else that I can think of off the top of my head. And I know you've got things to do, so I should just let you go do your things.
Well, thanks for letting me be unhinged. And I appreciate always having this space to do that with you. I always love being with you. And keep kicking complete and utter ass.
You
And
just
let's
kind of went
just,
out a little bit, but I think I got
oh no. No way. I
the
said I always love and appreciate being here with you. It's my favorite.
That's how I
And
feel.
yeah. And we just gotta it took to close, buck the fuck up, stay bucked up so that we don't get fucked up.
There you
Okay.
go. Buck
And
the fuck up so we don't get fucked up. That should be a
there you go.
slogan.
Buck it up. Let's not get fucked up.
All right. Well, you are Stephanie Walton Dominguez all over, right? Just
Stephanie Dominguez Walton.
Dominguez
And
Walton. Did I say it
yes,
wrong?
and I'm addicted to Instagram, so find me there. Instagram brings me joy from like watching horses give birth to political things or you know, whatever, ridiculousness.
Yeah, Bob is completely addicted to Instagram now.
Bob's got some heat on Instagram. Bob's
yeah, he's
fun
been,
on
he's
Instagram.
Been really, he, yeah, he's been really pushing it. And then like every night before bed, he just goes on his phone. That's what he looks at before he goes to bed. And I don't see what he's looking at, but I know it's probably mostly all of his Star Trek and, you know, the stuff that he's a fan of. That's what he's not like on political Instagram. He's just having on fun Instagram. So yeah, he likes it. And so do I. I mean, obviously I just enjoy all the social media, maybe a little too much. But
you
anyway.
Know, what's not to love?
I mean, I work from fucking home. I rely on it. I rely on my YouTube. I rely on, oh my God, I just want to quickly say this before we go, that there's this guy, Andrew Lau. Low or Lau, Lowe. I can't remember how he pronounces it. It looks like Low, but I think it's Lau. But he just went on Patreon. And then they just fucking put him on a billboard on Times Square. He's got like a million followers on YouTube. And I absolutely adore him. He's gay and he does mostly cooking videos. And so I started watching him when my mom had knee surgery that one year. And it was just so fucking awful, right? I mean, she was like, it was fucking awful. It was during Christmas. Andrew was like the guy who saved us. So now he's just gone over to Patreon. And so not only do I watch him on YouTube, but I watch him on Patreon, but I have all my YouTube people. I love just like, I fucking live on YouTube while I work all day long. That's what I do.
That sounds
anyway,
like fun.
I need to go take more walks though, out in nature. Anyway,
yes.
All right. Well, it's always fun talking to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up and being here. I appreciate it.
Love it.
And we will talk again soon.
All right, honey bunny.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this, this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.